Well, as you know, Barry has been preaching a series for a couple of weeks, kind of on finding God in tough times. I know none of y'all ever have tough times, that there's never more month than money, that there's never any of those kind of things that happen in life, there's never any health issues, you know, that everybody's perfect. Okay. Well, in that case, since we do kind of sometimes have rough times, tough times, that kind of thing, I want to spend a few minutes this morning. Barry's been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and I just want to continue it and kind of think about how can we pray during our tough times? What maybe can we look at, maybe a little different perspective on prayer during tough days? Now, as we pray, obviously there are several aspects of prayer that we always need to think about. One of those, of course, is praise and adoration. You remember the Lord's Prayer, how it starts. Our Father, which art, hallowed be thy name. That's where Jesus said that's where we ought to start our prayers. We ought to start our prayers with praise and recognition of who God is and where he sits and how he controls the universe. And so we give him praise for that. And then it talks about thanksgiving. Now, all of us have something we're thankful for. I mean, stop and think about it. None of us have gills. And if we did, we would be in trouble even with the rain. There's still not enough water for us to breathe out on the ground if we had gills. And so, you know, isn't it great to know that we've got lungs so we can breathe? I think when I got up this morning, that was not the first thing on my mind. I had a first thing on my mind this morning was, well, gosh, you're preaching this morning. Maybe you better put a sermon together. Well, maybe that wasn't the first thing on my mind, but anyway, as one of the first things was trying to get ready to come in and to preach this morning. I don't get to preach all the time, and so I get a lot of words stored up. I'm just saying. But then we need that time of thanksgiving, thankful for life, thankful for the things that God has given us. And he does continuously do that. Our church, I think, is, now I'm not picking on you when I say this, but we do a pretty good job of intercessory prayer, praying for others, as long as you're sick. I think a lot of our intercessory prayer is an organ recital. And that's okay. If I get sick, I want you praying for me. But remember, there's a lot of other things to be praying for people about too. I've got friends that need a lot of prayer. Boy, have I got friends that need a lot of prayer. I mean, we're just kind of that way, aren't we? We need to be praying for others. But then there's petition. And that's where I'm going to camp for a few minutes this morning. And so as I think about petition, I think there's a phrase, as petition is praying for myself. Things, my personal stuff. And so I just want us to think for a few minutes about a couple of words that's still out of the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. These words are found in Matthew chapter 6. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so these words come from the Sermon on the Mount. It's part of that passage we call the Lord's Prayer. It comes in Matthew 6, verse 10, and it simply says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Guys, that is the very foundation, the essence of our praying for ourselves, is that we need to be in the center of where God wants us to be according to his plan and purpose in his kingdom. So, this morning, with that in mind, that's kind of the key, all right? That's going to be the foundation of where we are this morning. And so, as I think about praying through tough times, I want to give you a question. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. And I already know the answer to it, so you can't get it wrong. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to give you a concept, and then I'm going to define the concept a little bit. So, by the time I'm done, you're going to wish it was that short. So, here's the question. In your tough times, do you pray? And remember, I already know the answer to this. In your tough times, do you pray, Lord, help me fix this? Lord, fix it now. Lord, I've got a problem here. I can't find the solution to it. Maybe you ought to help a little. Or am I the only one that's tempted to pray that way? Well, probably I am, because I'm the associate pastor, not the pastor. And so I'm not as perfect as the pastor. My tendency is to pray, Lord, I got a problem. Fix my problem now, please. Does that define anybody else? See, y'all are scared to admit it, but I know. So, that's the question. Now, here's the concept. Rather than praying in our tough times, seeking solutions, how about we pray seeking the Father? Now, there's a little difference there. When I pray asking God to fix my problems, who am I putting at the center of my life? When I pray seeking the Father, who am I putting at the center of my life? See, that's our goal, isn't it? To put Jesus at the very apex of the center of who we are. You see, in that same prayer, in verse 8, just a verse or two before what I just read, Jesus says this. Don't be like them. I don't mean them, but you're over there. So don't be like them. Just keep on. Who are they in that prayer? They're the holy, righteous, religious people who keep on babbling. He says, don't be like them, the pagans who keep on babbling. Now, I know you're not pagan, Eric. It's okay. Don't be like the pagans who keep on babbling, because your Father knows what you need even before you ask. Did you know that God is not in heaven pacing back and forth, wringing his hands over your circumstances? I know it's hard to believe, because we like being the center of the universe, but the simple fact is, God is not pacing the floor over your circumstances. Your circumstance does not take God by surprise. Well, I know, because you're like me. And you're saying, well, yeah, but Dave, you just don't know how big my problem is. Now, you're right. I don't know what kind of big problems you have. You don't get it, Dave. I'm not really trying to decide what shirt to wear today. I'm not really trying to decide whether my socks match or not. Don't worry about your socks. The 10 today is thought to wear matching socks anyway. So don't worry about your socks. I got way more months than money. I got a relationship that's fallen apart. I got issues that are big. I got a health thing going on. I'm trying to decide if God may be calling me into ministry. You know, Dave, I'm not even really sure, but I think my problem might be that I'm too self-centered. That I'm not sure I have faith enough to do what you're calling me to do. You fill in the blank with your problem. And Dave, I really would like to know what to do. I get it. Me too. You see, when I put this message together, it's a whole lot more for me than it is for you. I know you find this hard to believe about me. I'm sure Miss Elaine will even find this hard to believe about me because she knows me pretty well, but she probably doesn't know this about me. I tend to worry a lot. I took you by surprise, didn't it? So I fret and I fume and I fuss. I'm one of those kind of guys that if there's an issue, let's fix it now. Let's not put it off. Let's put it together. I mean, you know, I've even been known to confront people with my problem. I know you find that hard to believe. In fact, they say confession is good for the soul. My buddies used to call me Louie. You remember Louie off the old, I think it was Budweiser commercials? Ah! He'd get mad really quick. I know Elaine didn't know I had a temper. So anyway, see, I understand, I get it. I come from that background. I come from that wanting to get things done right now. I come from an understanding of when life's issues get big, I need a big God. I sure am glad I know a big God. I know a God so big that my big problems, well, what big problem do I have that would be big to God? I mean, you know, the dude holds the earth where it's supposed to be, rotating around the sun the way it's supposed to. He is so big, he's named all of the stars and all of the planets and all of the cosmos. He doesn't need my help controlling any of it, especially my corner of it. So here's the definition that I want us to deal with for just a minute. And the definition is this. The purpose, you're not going to like this. The purpose of personal prayer is to align myself with God. Let me say it again. The purpose of personal prayer is to align myself with God. Now say it with me. The purpose of The purpose of personal prayer is to align myself with God. You know, the simple fact is you cannot be in alignment with God and out of alignment with God at the same time. Now, isn't that deep? There was a time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed there. And he prayed this way, Father, if there is any way, do what? Remove this cup from me. Now there's a lot, I could preach a whole sermon on that, but I'm not going to this morning anyway. If there's any way, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, even Jesus could not be in alignment with the will of God and be out of alignment with the will of God. Aren't you glad he chose to remain in the will of God? Had he taken the course he wanted to take, salvation would not be possible. But because he remained true and in alignment with God and his will, you and I have an opportunity to know him, to trust in him, to believe him, to invite him into our life, and to be secure in our salvation. And the only way that could have happened was for him to remain true to the will of the Father. You cannot be in the will of God and out of the will of God at the same time. So, to continue the concept, or to continue the concept, as you face your circumstances, as you face your problems, as you face your life issues, maybe it would be better if we did not pray, Lord, fix my problems. It might be better for us to pray, and believe me, I'm still working on this. This is the part that Dave really needs to work on in his life too. Rather than praying, Lord, fix my problems, maybe we should pray, Lord, in light of my circumstance, in light of my problem, in light of my issue, what must I do to be in alignment with you? What must I do to bring honor and glory to you? God already knows your problem. Can God fix your problem immediately? He can, but mostly he doesn't. But when I approach my problems, when I approach my issues with the idea in mind that, God, what I really want most of all out of all of this is that I bring you honor and glory. And the way I react and the way I overcome and the way I live through and experience this situation, whatever it is, Lord, I want to bring honor and glory to you. From experience, I can tell you, you can do that in a hospital bed. You can do that, I don't know if you can do it in the emergency room or not, but probably you can. I'd say you can. But guys, there are so many circumstances that if we would just simply endeavor to honor God through whatever we did, we'd be a whole lot better off. I know I would. And so as I think about all of this, I think to myself, what must I do to be in alignment with God? And so as I approach being in alignment with God, I may have something going on in my life that I'm self-inflicting some of my issues. There may be some things going on in my life that needs repentance. Remember, I said you can't be in alignment with God and out of alignment at the same time. So maybe there's something in my life that I need to repent of. Maybe there's something God has called me to do that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to do it and I haven't done it. Guess what? Maybe there's something in your life that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has told you to stop doing, and you haven't stopped it. It's tough to bring honor and glory to God if you aren't in alignment with God. So the challenge, I think, for us this morning as we think about praying through tough times, is to make sure, first of all, that we are in alignment with God. Folks, when you realize that you are out of alignment with God, then you must be willing to make whatever adjustment necessary to be in alignment with God. Did I say this sermon would be easy? All I can tell you is, from a personal perspective, I sure am glad God is a God of do-overs. I mean, here's my buddy Jonah, deep inside the great fish. He prays the greatest foxhole prayer ever. I know what the scripture says, but what he really said was help. And he didn't say it that way either, by the way. Out on the beach he went. God said, all right, here's your second chance, big fella. Pack up and head to Nineveh. And this man who had been out of alignment with the Father gets into alignment with Father, and he goes to Nineveh on mission for God. You see, the only way he could accomplish the task was to be in alignment with God. Over and over in Scripture, we find God allowing do-overs. Just because you may or may not find yourself out of alignment with God, it's good to be in alignment with God. In fact, when you're praying that kind of, when you're praying in that manner, if you're praying in that way, the only time you don't have to make an adjustment in your life is when? When you are in alignment with God. Peter. Jesus is arrested. How does Peter react? Does he not deny even knowing Jesus? Does he not, in fact, curse Jesus? Does he not, in fact, run? Shake his head this way. And then the women encounter the resurrected Jesus, and his instructions to them is, go tell the disciples. Oh, and by the way, be sure to tell Peter. Peter needs to see this. Peter needs to understand that just because he failed doesn't mean I'm through with him. And he reinstates Peter, and Peter becomes the spokesman early on of all Christianity. Folks, you and I have a task to do, and it's a task that can only be done when we're in alignment with God. And our circumstances cannot prevail upon us being out of alignment with God. We cannot allow our circumstances to take you out of alignment with God. You know, my hope this morning as we come together is that none of you want to be out of alignment with God either. My hope, my prayer is this morning that you want to find yourself in the center of God's will. So I hope you'll do whatever necessary to get there. Maybe it's something that you need to repent of. I don't know. Maybe it's something you need to stop doing. Maybe it's something you need to start doing. I don't know. But you know. And you know even now what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. And maybe you just simply need to say, God, I need a do-over bad. Something in my life, I need a do-over. I no longer want to be prodigal to your will. Bring me back into alignment with you. There's a whole lot of us as Christians that could pray that quite often, actually. I know I can. Maybe this morning you've been putting off inviting Christ into your life. You've just kind of pushed it to the side. You know the Lord's called you. You've been dealt with the Holy Spirit before, but you've never done anything about it. I would certainly invite you to invite Christ in. He's a gentleman. He won't come in uninvited. But I hope you'll take the time this morning to invite him into your life. That you might be willing to say yes to the Lord that's calling you into salvation. If that's you this morning, I hope you'll take care of it even as we speak. Maybe you've been debating back and forth whether you want to join this church or not. You know, I would invite you to examine and explore that with the Holy Spirit today. I think we got an awful good church. I know I'm sure glad I'm part of it. That's not the real sales job. See me after church, you know. You know, God's probably not calling you into ministry. But maybe He is. There are a few of us here that have experienced that call. It's a very real call. And it's one that can only be fulfilled through obedience. And then because each one of you is a personal member of God's family, there may be something else He's calling you to do. There may be some other task He's calling you to do. Maybe I haven't even touched on what God's speaking to you this morning. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't allow a message like this to leave you unchanged. Many times I have said as I have preached a challenging sermon, and maybe this isn't challenging to you, it is to me personally, and so it's a challenge to me. So maybe I'm projecting myself on everybody here. I don't want to do that, but anyway. This has been a challenging sermon for me because it hits close to home. And one of the things that I have often said as we come to a time of invitation is that please, whatever you do, don't leave this service under conviction, but leave the service committed to obedience. So whatever it is, take care of it. It's between you and the Lord today. I hope this has been a message for you like it has for me, that may give you a new perspective on how we can pray through tough times. Most likely, if you pray that way, tomorrow morning you'll still have more month than money. You'll still have the same boss. You'll still have the same co-workers. You'll still have the same family members. But man, what a different perspective when you face it in alignment with God. Father, this morning, we come to this time that we call the invitation. Father, to me, it's the most important time that we have on Sunday morning, because it's where we give opportunity for your people to respond to your call. So, Father, this morning, help us to commit to obedience, to be sure that we are in alignment with you, with your will, with your purpose. Help us to pray, Lord, truly pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together this morning. God is speaking to your heart. Don't take it for granted. He doesn't waste words. Take my love.